Welcome to our eight-week series on teen parenting class. This is our fourth class. And for those that don't know me, my name is Michael Rao. And my lovely wife here is Chloe. And we're just excited about this series. And we hope that you guys are just as excited.
Amen.
And it's incredible. It's great to have the teens here in the class. Amen. 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 So we've had three classes so far. The first class was the importance of a spiritual family. The second class was depth in God's Word. And the last class that we had was preparing your teens or teenagers for college and adult life. And tonight, we're talking about the importance of strong spiritual friends.
Amen.
Amen. Mr. Anthony Alford, could you start us out with a word of prayer, please, brother?
Yes, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are truly grateful and honored to be able to be here this evening. We especially thank you for the fact that you allow many of us to be called out of darkness into your wonderful light. To have you Lord of our lives and Lord of everything that we do is so vitally important to each and every one of us. And God, I pray that on tonight that you help us to continue to help our teens to be able to be all that they can be for you. And God, I know that there are many that are in the process of making decisions as to whether or not Jesus is going to be Lord of their lives. I pray that something that will be said or heard, whatever comes out of tonight, will help to impact their hearts, to change their lives, to help us as parents to continue to live by faith and not by walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And understanding that we can't make them do it, but by doing the right thing, by being the parents that you call us out of darkness into your wonderful light to be for our children, will have such a magnificent impact on them that they will make godly and righteous decisions. And I pray tonight that they will see from this class the benefit of having awesome and great righteous friends.
Yes.
God, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Be with Mike and all of those who are leading this class to keep it up on their hearts to continue to preach your word boldly and courageously.
Yes.
And God, we love you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus. He makes all of this possible. Yes. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 26. And while we're turning there, I just really want to lift up a few people in this room here, because teens and teen parents alike, we need to really get to know these particular people in this room. And the people that I'm talking about is John and Marissa Bell Becker. Amen. They work day and night to help our kids be what they can be for God.
Amen.
And we really need to be thankful and show our appreciation to them daily whenever we have an opportunity to speak with those guys. You know, and another couple, Derek and Gergie Stone, who are in there with Team Workers, they're there. They're in there. Can you guys stand up for a sec? Amen. They're also in there with our children, really encouraging our children and inspiring our children to be like Jesus.
Amen.
So I just did not want to pass that opportunity up. But in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, what it reads is, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." It says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully." Raise your hand if you want to be righteous. Okay, so there's a majority of us in here that want to choose our friends very, very carefully, according to what God says. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about having spiritual friends. And I think that what you really need to build strong spiritual friendships is to have an incredible relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our first class. See, if your relationship with God is where it needs to be, your relationship with your friends is really going to be where it needs to be. But if you're not doing well spiritually, you know, you're not going to be able to coexist with other people that are trying to help you, other teens that are trying to help you, and there's going to be a resistance in that relationship. Amen? Drawing near to God is always affects our relationship with one another. Always. The Bible constantly ties these two things together. And I just want to say this as well. Just because you have a relationship with someone here in the church, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a spiritual relationship. You know, some of us can just be like, that's my buddy. I've been in the church with them a long time. But when they see you doing things that you shouldn't be doing, they're just your buddy.
Come on, Mike.
They're not your spiritual friends.
Come on,
and for
Mike.
And for our friends and guests in here tonight, you know, we're family.
Amen.
You know, we talk openly about everything. And we especially talk about our relationship with one another. Amen?
Amen.
Turn over to Proverbs 13. Start in verse 20. It says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise. See, one of the benefits of having spiritual friends is that you will grow wise in your walk with God. I want to grow wise in my walk with God. I want to surround myself with people that are going to help me to grow wise in my walk with God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, another point that I like to make here is that with our friends, we're always sharing what we're learning from God's word. Even teens, when we're at school or when we're amongst one another, we're supposed to encourage one another with God's word. See, in John 15, starting at verse 15, Jesus talking to the disciples here, he says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I made known to you."
Amen.
See, if you have friends in here, you make it known to them what you're learning from God's word. We're supposed to encourage one another with God's word. And I want to throw this out there as well. When you think about having a spiritual friend, what are some of the things that comes to mind when you think about a spiritual friend? Anyone? Honesty. Okay. Anybody else?
Openness.
Okay.
Encouragement.
Okay. Amen.
Someone you pray with.
Someone you pray with.
Rebuking.
Amen.
Trust.
Rebuking.
Help.
Okay. Help. Okay. Amen. See, Jesus did not hold anything back from his friends.
Amen.
We are called to speak the truth in love. If you love someone in here and you consider them your friend, why are you holding back? Why are you holding back? Are they really your friends? See, I want to speak to the teens for just a minute, because you got to speak to the teens. You guys are back there, right?
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Why is it important to have spiritual friends? I can call you out. Okay, Sandra. Okay. They keep you on the right track. Miles. It's good to have friends. Okay. Who else is that back there? Naya.
Because they keep you grounded when you're a worldly friend on this like party and do all this kind of stuff.
Okay, David. Amen. Those are good answers. So how can you tell the difference between a spiritual friend and an unspiritual friend? What are some of the signs there?
By their actions.
By their actions. Okay. Amen. Yes. Okay. Okay. Amen. I see a... By the way they talk. Okay, Allison? Okay. Amen. Sandra? Amen. So those are good. I love to engage the teens because they're our future, guys.
Amen.
You know, you want to know what they're thinking. And the only way to know what they're thinking is to talk to them.
Amen?
Amen. But, you know, I just want to share for a minute about just my life and why it was important for me to have spiritual friends. I was baptized back in 1992. I was living with a woman, and you know, God said you can't do that. And I was able to study the Bible and get baptized, and now she's my wonderful wife.
Amen.
You know. But so I'm very, very fortunate. But when I got into the church, I had no clue on how to build friendships. I was clueless. And so what I did, I got into the church and I started talking to everybody, any and everybody. And there were a lot of men in that church that I seen were doing things that I wanted to imitate.
Amen.
With their children, with the way that they were dressing, with the way that they were conducting their lives. And I said, you know what? I am going to follow or really just get engaged with this guy and find out how I can imitate his faith and his life. And I would do that by, hey, I'd go cut his grass. Anything that I need to do to spend time with this guy, I would do it. Because it was just that important to me.
Amen.
Because if you want to grow in Christ, you want to make sure that you're around people that can help you grow in Christ. What about you? As far as just going after someone that you see life is worthy of imitation. You know, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 4:16. He urges the church. He says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Ask yourself this question. Do the relationships that you have make you stronger, or does it pull you down? Teens, you got me on that? Does the relationships that you have right now make you stronger, or does it pull you down spiritually? 1 Corinthians 15:33, and I can quote this because I talked to my children about this since they were young. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character.
Come on.
God is serious about putting him first and making sure that nothing comes between you and him. Nothing is dragging you down. No one is dragging you down. Deuteronomy 13:6. It says, if your very own brother or son or daughter or wife you love or closest friend secretly entices you saying, let's go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the people around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other, do not yield to him or listen to him. Show him no pity. And see, adults, we have to lead the way.
Amen.
We have to lead the way.
Come on, Mike.
You know, if we're hanging around people that we are just listening to foolishness that we shouldn't, how are we going to expect our children to follow that? It talks about bad company corrupts good character. What's your company like? Spiritual friends will help you walk with God. Unspiritual friends, they don't want to have nothing to do with that. Teens, I know we can relate to that. They don't want to have nothing to do with godliness. You know, spiritual friends, they're not selfish. They're not conceited. They're not out for their own interests. Spiritual friends will tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Spiritual friends won't let you disobey God and won't let you go to hell without a fight.
Amen.
Now, when was the last time somebody fought you about your relationship with God? Got in your face and said, you know what? I am not putting up with this. I love you enough not to let you go down that road. Spiritual friends are those that we can call on any day or night if you are struggling, and they will care for you and pray for you. They won't let you gossip about other people.
Come on, Mike.
Or let you make any kind of excuses about your sinfulness. They won't let you justify your sin. Galatians 6. And this basically describes, you know, how a spiritual friend will be towards you if you're caught in a sinful trap.
Amen.
This is the way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves amongst one another as disciples when someone is caught in sin. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be also be tempted. Carry each other's burden. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
You know, on the other hand, spiritual friends will rejoice about your success.
Right.
If you won that track meet and your friend was there with you, they're going to be happy for you.
Yeah.
They're going to be excited about you coming in first place. Spiritual friends are always there for you. And I'm going to close out here in Philippians. We turn there. I'm going to give Mr. John Becker an opportunity to get up here and share. Philippians 2. And when I think about the qualities of a spiritual friend, Philippians 2 comes to mind.
Amen.
Okay? In verse 1, they have a living relationship with God that strengthens them. In verse 2, they seek to be unified in Christ, one in mind, love, spirit, and in purpose. Verse 3, they are unselfish. They're humble and regard others before themselves. Verse 4, they don't simply look out for their own interests. They're always thinking about their friend. Verse 5 through 11, they strive to be like Jesus in humility, in service, in sacrifice. Verse 12, they are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, God is working in them. Verse 14, this is a big one. They are not grumblers or complainers. They are obedient to God and authorities. And that includes teachers. They are above reproach, verse 15, and look like lights in the middle of a dark world. Amen. Verse 16, they hold on to and hold out the word of life, the word of God. And in verse 17, they are full of joy. I got this quote, not sure who it came from, but it says, it is a great advantage for us to be able to consult someone who knows us so that we may learn to know ourselves. Ask yourself this, who do you have as a spiritual friend? I mean, really, who do you have as a spiritual friend? As well as to whom are you being a spiritual friend to? Wow. Loving God is always number one. And if you love God, the next step is to practice number two, spiritual friendships. Amen.
Amen. Pass it over to Job 2, please. Mike's already given us enough as way as introduction, so we're going to just jump in here. You know, there's one aspect of friendships that I can't help of when I think of friendships. It's the marital relationship. My wife's my best friend. Now, I have tons of friends in the room and around the world. A lot of the teens are my friends. But my number one friend is my wife.
Amen.
As a side note, I pray that you have spiritual relationships in your marriages.
Amen.
As a side note. Look over in Job 2. Mike set up a lot of great principles for us. And what I want to do is I want to pare it down a little bit to look at some examples in the Bible of spiritual friendships and not so spiritual friendships. Let's look over in Job 2, starting in verse 7. The Bible says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, let's just start right there. We're going to continue to read about some of Job's other friends, but look at his number one friend. Would you consider her in this moment spiritual? Not at all. Now, there's a lot you can look at in the story, and we all know the story of Job, hopefully, where Satan went to God and asked him, can I, you know, he would curse you to your face if you allowed me to afflict him. And that's what he did. God said, go ahead, just don't kill him. He lost his family, lost his riches, he lost everything. And here, now he attacked him, Satan attacked him physically. How do you act when you get attacked physically? Think about that for a second. A lot of times we struggle when we start getting headaches, when we get pains, and God forbid if we get a real deep disease. There's a lot of people in here that are recovering from a lot of different things. We need to praise God, but how do we act when we're in that? You know what? When we have spiritual friends, we can get by in those times. When you don't have a spiritual friend, they tell you, go ahead, curse God. Die already. Wouldn't you rather be dead than go through what you're going through? You know, I remember my mom, she was a very sickly woman. From when I was young, I always remember asking her how she's doing. Something always hurt. And that's a hard way to live. You know, I'm not trying to make fun of her, but, you know, she always had something. And, you know, perception is your reality. And she was always in pain. My dad never once said, curse God and die. You know, when they became, in 1995, they became disciples. They learned how to do marriage right. They learned how to be spiritual friends for each other. Until their death, they helped each other to be better. First, my dad got lung cancer, and my mom was that spiritual friend. And he had a ton of others in the church that was spurring him on. He was dying with a disease. You would expect him, it would be okay if he got bitter. No, we wouldn't. That's not the standard of a Christian. That's the world standard. But guess what? If you got worldly friends, they're going to tell you, it's okay. Get mad. You should be mad. Question God. What's wrong with him? Why do you have this? But as disciples, we don't do that, right? And when we do fall into that temptation, you better have somebody around you that's doing better than you. That's why the spiritual relationship in the marriage is so important. Are you still maintaining your integrity? Is that what your spouse tells you when you're not doing well? When times are looking bad and you look at the checkbook and it's just flapping in the wind, there's really no substance to it. When you're going through some stuff, if you have sickness after sickness or whatever, does your spouse check out? Are they there for you? That's a side note. I just think, when I think of friendships, I think of my beautiful best friend. Do you have those relationships? Teens, you too. When you're going through hard times, who do you look to? When you're on Facebook complaining about your life, how much spiritual relationships you got there? I try to answer you guys. I know a lot of you guys can say amen to that. I jump on you. What's going on? Let's get together. Yeah, okay. See if it'll fit in my schedule. I just looked at them. But guys, we need those spiritual friendships. And it's not just those spiritual friendships that coax us and tell us how awesome we are. Sometimes those are those relationships that slap us in the back of the head and say, you're not so awesome right now. Right now you need help. Amen. Lean on me. I got you. Yeah. Together we can get through this. Job's wife, she just wasn't seeing it. She needed a couple of quiet times, but that's okay. You know, before we condemn Job's wife, we got to remember who we are. You know, we're the ones a lot of times that are also looking at, man, they're really going through some stuff. They should be upset. No. Job, while he had sores on his body, said, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Man, we can just go on there all night, but we're going to move on. Let's look over in verse 11. Let's look at some of Job's other friends. Forgive me if I massacre these names. I have practiced them, but let's see how we get through. All right, in verse 11 it says, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Namathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robe and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. You know, to be a spiritual friend, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't need to be a biblical concordance. Sometimes your presence is enough. What you going to say anyway when somebody's going through a lot of suffering? I'm sorry. Did you do it? If you talk to most people that lost someone or something's going on, when they hear I'm sorry, it doesn't really do a lot. Because they know you didn't do anything. If you just stand there with them, if you just give them a good hug, Just look them in the face and let them know you're there for them. That's worth a lot more than a bunch of words. Now, is it wrong to say I'm sorry? No, I'm not condemning that. I've said it 1,000 times. You know why? Because we don't know what to say. I think we need to be mature and realize sometimes you don't say anything. You know, when Lazarus died, what did Jesus do? He never apologized. He came and he wept with them. He dealt with them as people. Why? Because he wanted to empathize with them. He wanted to let them know, I care. Yes, I'm about to raise them up, and I know that. But I'm hurting because you're hurting. I hurt because you hurt. When you have spiritual friendships, they hurt when you hurt. When you don't, they don't. They don't care about you. They care about what you bring to the table. You know, about 16 years ago when I became a disciple, some of my best friends were my cousins. We were thick and as thieves, as they say. And we were tight. I mean, we did everything together. When I say everything, I mean everything. Everything you're not supposed to do. And they were not spiritual friendships. And I had an impasse. When I became a disciple, I had to realize, do I continue these relationships or do I need to cut them off? That's a hard decision. Especially, I was like 23, 22. It was challenging. These were my boys, my best friends. So what did I do first? I reached out to them. I was trying to be their spiritual friend. See, when you got a spiritual friend, they reach out to you, right? If you're being spiritual, you're reaching out to others and helping them to become what you supposedly are. So I went to them and I was like, look, I would love to study the Bible with you and all this kind of stuff. And about a year went by and one of my cousins said, look, I don't care what you say. You can say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to become what you are. I haven't spoke to him since. Now, I didn't call him up and say, we're done, that's it. We just drifted away slowly. Why? Because spiritual relationships have everything in common. When you have Christ in common, it don't matter what your skin color is. Don't matter what kind of food you like. It don't matter what you dress like. There's a relationship on here that shouldn't even be friends in the world standard. Me and my wife shouldn't be together. She's way too Spanish for me. She's straight Spanish, and I'm straight not Spanish. You know? Scratch me a little bit. I'm from the hood, you know? I come from a different world. Why are we together? Because her spirituality attracted me. Before her beauty, it was her inner beauty. It was who she was. Amen. And we were amazing best friends at first before anything else started. I want to talk to the teens. Y'all want relationships? That's the route to go in. Don't worry about how pretty his eyes are. Don't worry about how pretty her smile is. Worry about how much she loves your God. If she doesn't love your God, she cannot love you. She can't. It's not her fault either. It's not his fault either. They just don't know. You could cackalack and giggle and talk and think that this is a joke, but guys, this is as real as it gets. Eyes only go so far. Guess what? Those eyes are going to close one day, and you're going to be face to face with the eyes of your Creator. What then? You know? I know I'm cute, but you know, eventually I ain't going to be as cute. But I'm spiritual. My wife's always going to love me. If I'm 50 pounds overweight or 10 pounds underweight, she still loves me. Thank God. That's a spiritual woman. Some other women, you gain 10 pounds, they gone. That's just reality. Well, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. You good, right? We good? Okay. We're good. I didn't need to even ask that. Oh, thank you so much. So they know I'm dry. You know, when I was researching this, I read a quote that I thought was very interesting. Reverend Dr. Patrick R. Close. Don't know the man, but he said something pretty cool. He wrote, true spiritual friendships is marked by honor and humility. It produces truth, goodwill, affection, joy, and most of all, action. Spiritual friends temper adversity and moderate prosperity. When things are bad, these are the friends that stand by us. Spiritual friends hold our hands in the hospital, put their arms around us at the funeral home, and show up at our doors with chicken soup and a warm smile when we're sick.
Amen.
Amen. That's some good chicken soup, boy. They also are friends that don't let us get full of ourselves in prosperity. Spiritual friends ground us and keep us from thinking that we have it all on our own and that we've done this by our own accomplishments. Look over in 2 Corinthians 6. The Bible is clear about spiritual relationships. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temples of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk with them, walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." You know, what does it mean to be yoked? Yoked means that we're brought together in union. You know, when you're running around the halls in high school, your pack is who you're yoked with. When they see y'all running the halls, they associate you as a unit. So if you're with the pack, the troublemakers, it don't matter if you're a trouble or a maker, you are that now. Why? But based on association. Based on association. Unfortunately, the opposite doesn't work. When they see a pack of spiritual teens running around, you know, they don't give that much value. Why? Because there's not many of you around. I thank God in our team ministry, we have a lot of young disciples. We have a lot of people, a lot of teens that have made a decision to make Jesus Lord. There's no such thing as a junior disciple. These guys live a very hard life in their schools. They're tempted with everything. You know, a lot of times as adults, we're sheltered to a certain point from a lot of this sin. Why? Because we can dictate where we go. We could change jobs. They can't change schools. They can't change their classes. They're in there with whoever they're in there with, and they just got to deal with it. You can get another job. They can't get another school. You know, I honestly can't remember the last time I was with somebody that made me struggle as far as trying to coerce me to do something I didn't want to do. I just don't put myself in that position. I'm not going to go with somebody to a place where I know that they're going to bring me to do something I don't want to do. How about you? I'm talking about the adults and the teens. You know, I love boxing. I'm a huge boxing fan. You know, there's some guys that ask me, "Let's go watch a fight." Where? That's my first question. Where are we going to go? Is it your house? If it's at some place, I want to know where that someplace is. Even if it's my friend, I want to know the entire evening so I can put myself in a position to win. But also, being a spiritual friend, I want to put him in a position to win. If we're going to go to the fight and they're putting us in an area where we probably shouldn't be, I'm going to say, "I'm not going, but also you shouldn't go."
Right.
Now, if they go, that's on them. Yeah. Ezekiel 33 says, "If the sword is coming, you better warn them or that blood's going to be on your head."
Yeah.
I warn people. If you don't warn people, you better be careful and check your blood account. There might be heads on your accounts. That's some serious stuff. To me, that's the essence of a spiritual relationship. If you see somebody and the sword is coming and you don't have enough heart to tell them that they're about to be destroyed, you're not a friend. Also, you're not spiritual. It's challenging to tell people when you see sin in their life. It's not fun. It's not comfortable in the least. But I do it boldly. You know why? Because I love people. And I'm called to by God. So are you. This ain't a minister thing. We're all ministers. If we're disciples, we're all ministers. We're all called to the same standard. Mike Rowell does not work for the church. He preaches his 20, I'm preaching my 20. There's no, you know, no one's better than anybody, right? This ain't the Catholic Church, and I'm not Catholic bashing at all. We don't have those levels. We don't have hierarchies. We're all disciples. We're all saints. Well, we need to start acting like that and being that spiritual friendship so that we can call our friends to be that for us.
Amen.
If you know you're in sin and your friend didn't call you out, you need to call them out. Amen. You saw I was acting funky. What's wrong with you? Why didn't you say something? I would have listened to you. Maybe. A lot of times our ears aren't open. We're not willing to take it. But guess what? Who cares? I don't care. You catch an attitude with me? I'm still going home with my wife. I'm good. And I know my conscience is clear. Can you put your head on that pillow tonight and say your conscience is clear as far as your spiritual friendships? Now, am I calling you to be a sin sheriff? No. No one wants to see no sin sheriff walking down the halls and be like, hey, I saw you. You know, hey, Carl, where were you? You know, I was in the bathroom, bro, relax. You know, calm down. When's the last time you had a quiet time? Back up. No one wants that. But we want real. Like, I want you guys to challenge the teens. If you turn around, they're not paying attention like some of them aren't. I want you to turn around to them after class and say, where were your notes?
Amen.
How dare you be in this class without taking notes? Do you know this information?
Wow.
No? I got notebooks older than y'all. Come on. I mean, we need to hold our teens accountable, but are you taking notes as adults?
Come on, John.
See, I'm your spiritual friend. I'm going to let you know. You need to take out a piece of paper and a pen and take these principles down so that you can go over it in your quiet times during the week.
Amen.
Why do we do that? Is that our church thing? No, it's just a smart thing to do. When you go to school, what do? You take notes.
That's right.
That was just a side note. I'm sorry. There's a lot of rabbits to chase. John 3. John 3. Here we go. We're back on track. Starting in verse 18. Bless you, Jalen. I love you, man. John 3, verse 18. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the light comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. How would your lives be? Would your lives be different if you had friends that lived in the light? What I mean by that is when you're with your friends here at church and you go to their home, or if you drop over at work and saw them at work, are they the same person everywhere they went?
Wow.
For the teens, are you the same in front of your parents as you are in front of your students, as you are in front of your friends? It's so funny. The other day I got a call on my cell phone, and I picked it up, and it was some young voice, and, you know, obviously a lot of young people call me, and they didn't mean to call me. You know, they hip called me. It was a mistake. Now, no name popped up. That's why I'm mentioning it. So if you start getting nervous, I'm going to look so I can see who it was. But and so I'm like, hello, 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 and it was a guy. Hello, 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 nothing. I listened for a second to try to figure out who it was so I can call him back. And next thing you know, the F-bomb dropped. I thought, ooh, I caught somebody? They don't even know it. They butt called me, and they cussing. Oh, man, I got them. Who is it? I can't wait to call them. And I still can't figure out who it was because it was a restricted number and all that. But somebody had my number. Now, it might have been a missed dial call. I don't think so. Exactly. Yeah, right. I don't think so. See, but I went on the hunt trying to find out who this person was. Why? Because I am their friends. You know, I love these teens as my children, but I'm not that old, so I'm their friend. I'm their older friend. That's right. Don't laugh too hard. Thank you. Help me. Help them out. Living in the light, that's something that we need to call ourselves, but also our friends too. When you can think of your three best friends, are they people in the light? Now, I have some friends. A couple of friends that are not in the church, I can almost name them by one hand. Why? Because I'm a church bigot or something like that? That I don't have other friendships? No. But the people I'm closest to have to have Christ in common. What am I going to talk about? The Knicks, the Mets, the whoever? No. Now, we can talk about that a little bit. And I use a lot of that to talk to help me get close to people. But what's most important in my life? God. If that's the truth, I want to keep my life in the light so they can do theirs as well. Look over in Proverbs 27. And we need to close up pretty soon. You can write it down since you all are taking notes. Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Guys, there needs to be sparks up in this church. There needs to be sparks happening all the time. Does that mean a select few just walking around blindly swinging? No. We need to just do that for each other. Why? Because we love each other. If it's not motivated by love, what does the Bible call us? Resounding gongs. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if we speak out of love, we're just a resounding gong. Bang, bang. Is that attractive? Not at all. You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. They didn't even hear what you said. You can't even get what she's saying. Now, she might have been saying some good stuff. No one will ever know. You have to ask Mr. Schultz about that. But are people missing the good things that you got to say to them? Because you're not saying it in love. You know, I used to be a part of a group called the Chemical Recovery Group, CR. I know some of you know about it. And there's a time in the church where, well, in our region, when that group was real harsh. It was like people just came in, just hammered people. And then me and my wife had the opportunity to go ahead and help lead it, whatever. And we changed some stuff around. We said, you know, if you can't say it in love, just be quiet. Anybody can rebuke somebody. That's easy. You know what's hard? It's to try to find those words that's going to reach that person and hit their heart. Amen. Now, that takes some skill. Anybody could take a mallet and bash somebody over the head. We don't have surgeons for that. We have surgeons to make precise cuts. You don't just take a hatchet and say, all right, let's do heart surgery. Sha-shank! That don't make no sense. But it's the same way spiritually, guys. When we have spiritual relationships, we find ways to benefit each other. If you know you're talking to a person that's prideful, and they blow up on you, it's because you said it the wrong way. Can you handle that? Can you handle that you said it the wrong way? We just got to get humble, guys. We have to help people where they're at. There's a time to rebuke. There's a time to encourage. But it's always time to love. You know, when you don't have a spiritual friendship, they don't care what you feel or what you think. They're just going to backslap you and keep it moving. Why? Because they don't have the time to help you. We need to help each other. Last scripture, we're going to close out here in Matthew 12. Matthew 12:46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You know, when you do the will of God, you will find people that want to have that spiritual relationship with you. The closest people I am to in the planet are people that I fight the spiritual fight with. Those are my best friends. Why? Because we're so open with each other. We're so honest with each other. When you're sitting, studying the Bible with someone that doesn't know Jesus, and it's just you and another person helping that person, you guys just get real close. Why? Because you're in a spiritual battle for that person's soul. And you just build a bond. Like I said about my wife, the first thing that attracted me to her was that she was helping lead the Spanish ministry back in Queens, New York. And I was a young disciple watching her do this with another brother. And I'm like, I need to learn Spanish. She needed to be leading that with me. But I watched her and I was enamored. Why? Because she was amazing. You know, we didn't have cell phones back then. It was about this big. But I would call her. I couldn't get her. Why? Because she was out saving the world. Now, I was trying to do my own thing, too. I wasn't no slouch. I'm trying to be a disciple. You know what I'm saying? But she was out there for a woman to be out there in New York City running the streets trying to save the world one person at a time. That was her. And I fell in love with her spirituality. And we were just best friends. We just bugged out, played basketball, hung out, did all this stuff together. Next thing you know, I fell in love with her. That's how it works, teens. That's how it works. For the rest of y'all, that's where you're at. So, you know, that's where it needs to be. Jesus said, my mother, my brothers and sisters are those that do the will of God. Our best friends, our spiritual relationships need to be people that are doing the will of God. If you want to be that for somebody else, I pray you're doing the will of God. If you don't know what to do, ask somebody. Come to me, I'll tell you. I might not even know you that well, but I'll point you in a couple directions. Come help us with the teens if you're so inclined. There's a lot of work to do in the church. Guess what, guys? There's a lot of work to do outside the church. This room is packed. Guess what? We need to pack it out more. There's plenty of parents out there that need this. This is some good stuff. This is encouraging my soul to have the teens with their parents learning the same information. Why? Because we can all hold each other accountable. As they're growing, as they're learning, they can also look to you and ask you, how are you doing with this? You know, we all in the family need to be spiritual friends. Guys, I pray that you feel comfortable enough to go to anyone in our church and help them out with anything you see. We don't need to have pacts with each other and say, oh, certain areas are off limits. We need to be open with each other. Spiritual friendships are important, and that's it. Amen.